Hey everybody, this is Shane McCormick from the Cheap Home Grow Podcast. On today's show, we have Eric Robichaud from Green Goddess Supply. In this podcast, Eric was kind enough to tell us about the Armoire Grow Box. Eric talks about how easy it is for a beginner or a novice home grower to use the box. Please remember to press subscribe and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Cheap Home Grow Podcast, a show for individuals that want to learn more about growing cannabis indoors. This is a podcast dedicated to helping you with your indoor growing adventure. You'll learn how to grow your own and not have to rely on others for your medicine. The Cheap Home Grow Podcast will also feature timely interviews with cannabis industry veterans shaping the culture and politics of cannabis. All right. Here is your host, Shane McCormick, and the Cheap Home Grow Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Shane McCormick from the Cheap Home Grow Podcast, interviewing Eric Robichaud from Green Goddess. He is the founder and CEO, and today we are going to be talking about the Armoire, it's the home grow box that Vincent Baghetti invented, and it's currently owned and being marketed by Green Goddess. And Eric, today, why don't you tell my audience a little bit about yourself, and then we can get talking about the actual box.
Sure, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for having me on today. This is kind of an interesting story in how things have woven together, you know, from over the years. Going back to 1993, I was a software engineer and quit my day job to start my own business and started developing consumer software, basically games and screensavers and children's interactive CD-ROMs. We actually became sort of the big fish in a little pond, if you will, owning the screensaver niche. There was a point in the 90s where almost every screensaver on the market came out of our shop, even if it was, you know, private labeled or, you know, OEM'd under another brand. And we launched screensaver.com, which became the number one most popular screensaver download site on the internet, and, you know, big into software, and our products were in boxes and, you know, CompUSA and Staples and Babbage's software, et cetera, and all the different software chains and mall stores that existed back then. And we were based out of Rhode Island. And the company at that time was RI Soft Systems, Round Soft Systems. And over on the West Coast was this this group that was licensing content with the movie studios, Paramount Pictures, and so forth and so on. And that group was led by none other than Vincent Baghetti. And we ended up connecting in 1993 to work together on the Terminator 2 screensaver. And that became the first of about 200 product SKUs that we ended up developing and licensed content and so forth that we developed together with Vincent and his team. And, you know, he would get the licenses, and we were the technical software group. So we worked with Vincent on the software and distribution side, and for the better part of about a decade, from 1993 up until about 2003. And then by 2004, I started breaking up the business, sold it off in pieces, sold off screensaver.com, sold the main development group, and then got out because I saw the end of the screensaver market coming, and I saw, you know, a lot of changes. All the mall stores and people were selling to, they were all closed. There is no more Babbage's, there is no more software, et cetera, you know, CompUSA's, and things were changing, the internet, things were going online. So we stopped working together, and I shifted into doing other things. And then from 2004 onwards, started doing more web. Started a new business doing consulting and marketing and graphic design, a lot of web development, basically an interactive agency is what we called it. And then in 2008 timeframe, you know, the iPhone had come out in 2007. By 2008 or 2009, and that kind of, I don't remember the exact dates, but in that time frame, the App Store launched. And everybody was intrigued about iPhone apps, and, you know, there's an app for that, right? So Vincent had some licenses for music licenses and so forth for, and could do iPhone apps. So next thing you know, we spent a couple years back together again working on iPhone apps. And we did about 30 different SKUs of iPhone apps. We did Kiss apps, rock and roll bands and stuff. We did The Who and Kings of Leon, and we did Motley Crue and Poison and David Bowie and all these different bands and stuff, and a lot of product with Kiss. We did multiple products with Kiss, even a game where you could, you know, decorate yourself to look like Kiss, you know. It was pretty cool. So we did a whole bunch of iPhone apps and kind of got that out of our system. Been there, done that. It worked well, and we did our thing. But when the licenses expired at a certain time, and we were dealing with a particular group. I won't mention names, but we were dealing with a particular group. They were a huge hassle to deal with. And we're like, all right, kind of, we got our system, kind of been there, done that. Okay, we made some money, but it's not worth spending money to kind of renew these licenses again and keep going. We're like, yeah, I'm kind of over it. So we worked together for a couple of years on those, and then kind of, you know, went quiet. But all throughout this, like from 93 till now, 25 years I've known Vincent, and our paths have crossed and intertwined in and out, and we've always been friends, you know, throughout those times. As we've woven in and out, and he was working on this grow chamber to grow a plant at home. And I remember it was really fascinating. And I remember I told him, I want one. And he laughed. And this was, you know, 5 years ago, maybe. And he laughed. He goes, that's what everybody says. He goes, everybody wants one. Everybody wants one. He says, well, I'm still working. I'm still prototyping. I've still got like problems and issues. And I remember asking him, like, really? Well, tell me about that. And he said, well, I'm like, how did you get, you're a software guy, right? How did you get into this stuff? And he goes, well, actually, you know, he's a master grower, and he's been growing since the 70s. But it's just, it wasn't a business. You know, it was illegal underground and whatever, and that kind of thing. And so he's like, yeah, he actually went to school for botany, you know, and he's a plant morphology expert. And was doing a lot of cannabis consulting with these big grow operations in California. When they would start having problems with bugs and pests or this or that, they would call him, and he'd go and say, here's what you got to do. And he was a fixer, you know, go in and tell them what to do and, you know, give them a new protocol. And you guys are too sloppy. You're not, you know, you're not being diligent enough and cleaning and whatever. And, you know, anyway, he'd go in there and he would help them solve their issues and problems and that sort of thing. And so he was building the armoire for his personal home grow and trying to solve basically all of the issues and problems with home grow, because most people fail when they try it for the first time, and there are just so many variables and problems. So I just thought that was really cool and interesting for the first couple of years while he was working on it. But it was just like, oh, that's really cool. Well, when you get one, let me know, because I'd be interested, you know, kind of thing.
Sure.
And I just went about my business through running my interactive agency and that sort of thing. And then, kind of a long story that I won't go into, but I launched a separate side business that it evolved into what is Green Goddess today.
Okay.
And I started that back in March of 2015.
All right.
We started selling online. We're selling on Amazon, and we're selling on our website, and, you know, it's kind of an online thing. And it started building and growing. We started introducing more and more product SKUs, and it really just started taking on a life of its own. It started growing, and it started demanding more time and attention. And, you know, I started as a little side venture, but it started taking on a life of its own, you know? So we, I kind of came to, you know, the crossroads, like, okay, you get to a point in the evolution, you know, if a business is growing, you'll get to the point where it starts demanding more than you're giving it, and you really have to stop and do a little soul searching and say, okay, wait a second, is this a hobby or is this a legit thing and we're going to go for it? And it was the second time in my life. The first time I came to that crossroads was when I had started my little software company and I had a full-time job. I was working at CVS Pharmacy headquarters in their IT department, and although back then I'm old, so back then it was called MIS, Management Information Systems. but, you know, IT today, right? And it was the same thing. It was like all of a sudden, it's like I'm almost working two full-time jobs. I'd work my 40, actually, for CBS, I was doing more like 50 hours a week. And then I'd go home and have to work evenings and weekends. And it gets to the point where as the business is growing, it's like, okay, wait a second. Am I going to go for it or what? You know, what's that decision? And I decided to go for it. So for the second time in my life, I decided to go for it. So I ended up selling the interactive agency. And at that point, I've been doing, you know, tech, computer and develop software development and tech industry for 24 years or whatever it was at the time. And I was getting a little burnt out on it. It's like, all right, been there, done that. Spent 24 years doing the same kind of stuff. And I was, and this was totally different. And I was like, all right, I'm ready for a change. And this has taken off and it's got huge, huge potential. I mean, you know, the cannabis industry is in its infancy now and just exploding. You know, people are saying that they it's the fastest growing industry that we've seen in modern times. It's the fastest growing industry and has the potential to become the largest industry, like period, bigger than oil, bigger than, you know, tech, you name it, biggest industry. It's just, you know, massive, massive potential. And that's why they call it, you know, the green rush, kind of like the old gold rush in, you know, California in the 1800s. Well, now we have the green rush, everybody coming into the space, and we decided, you know what, let's go for it. So I sold the agency and got out of tech entirely and just started dedicating 100% full time doing this. And we've built up today. We have a product line of over 100 SKUs of smoke. We started in smoke shop accessories, so grinders, rolling trays. But our focus was in really high quality product, really nice, high quality, like bamboo sifter boxes and rolling trays and really nice top end grinders. We don't have 100 different grinders. It's the grinder, that nice, high quality grinder, you know, and then different pipes and glass products and all different types of widgets and accessories and stuff. And we've built out this whole kind of broad product line under the Green Goddess brand. And as we're doing this, you know, in our conversations, I'm chatting with Vincent, we're friends, we stay in touch from time to time and that sort of thing. And all of a sudden he's like, hey, I think I'm getting ready to go to market with this grow box. But now it takes, because I don't know how I'm going to do this. It's like a whole other thing. I mean, it requires all kinds of, you know, infrastructure and people. And, you know, this is not a small thing. You know, this is not a hobby, you know. I mean, to take this and commercialize it is really a whole other thing. So long and short of it is we decided to get together. And I said, well, we'll you know, the accessory line I had is self-sustaining and was nice little small, you know, business like me and, you know, one or two people who could just run a little, you know, a little home-based business. That's nice, you know, whatever.
Right.
We were doing most of our volume shipping like through Amazon and stuff. So we would just ship them, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pieces of whatever of a particular SKU, and they would do all the pick and pack and ship. So we didn't have to warehouse it. We didn't have to pick and pack. So we could do big volumes and just, you know, basically outsourcing it all, you know. So that's right. Something that I could run with just a couple people, a nice little small business. But the grow box is a whole other thing. And that's, you know, we'll say, quote unquote, the big idea. And that's where it's going to take a lot of cash to prime the pump to spin it up, you know, sales and marketing and production and so forth. And it's also a it's also the, you know, that's also the tens of millions a year type of revenue. I mean, it's just a totally different scale from what we're doing with the accessories. Cool. So we decided to, again, at a crossroads, we decided to go for it. And what we ended up doing is we went out, we started raising funds, which we put together a business plan, started raising private equity. And what we did was we turned around and did a deal with Vincent to buy out all of the intellectual property rights and everything, and ownership, did a deal with him, brought him in, and he became the president of Green Goddess Supply. And then president and chief cannabis officer. CCO, all right. And then so we brought him in, and then we turned around, we started raising funds and you know, filed all the patents and, you know, and then his patents and trademarks and, you know, all kinds of stuff, and just went to town and just got it all into production. You know, started put together basically our own factory, you know, hired our own people and set up a whole factory and assembly process, and took put the box into production. You know, the and we call it the Armoire. We put it into production. Okay. The Armoire. So we built, even after we got together and he was all done, ready to go, we still put together another handful of handmade prototypes, refining and tweaking the process, but with the eye towards the mass market now. Okay, he got it working, but, you know, being able to mass produce these things. And so we made some tweaks and stuff. And then finally went into production, and we've done two pre-production runs, we would call them, where we have the factory actually gear up and produce the box and stop.
Okay.
And then let us do a tear down, make sure, like, all right, this is what's going to ship. Now let's make sure, you know, it's going to ship properly. It's, you know, not going to get damaged. It's going to, you know, things aren't going to, you know, jiggle and come loose in shipping. There's just a million and one logistical issues. You know, is it easy to put together once you take it out of the box? And, you know, all these kinds of issues, right? So we did a production run, and it looks great. It works great. You know, we've been growing plants in the pre-production, and they're phenomenal. We're getting phenomenal results. But, you know, made a few tweaks and so forth, and then have them do another one and you know, do a few more units, ship them, review them. You know, we wanted to ship them around. We've shipped these things cross-country. You know, Vincent's out in California, and we're in the Boston area here. So we've shipped them cross country and, you know, watch them, make sure they survive and all that, and the shipping, and just kind of going through dry runs basically, and got to the point where we're like, yeah, this all looks good, you know, seal of approval and go to town. And so now we're actually producing, you know, the massive run of boxes now. So it's kind of exciting, you know, so.
Well, I mean, yeah. You know, coming from a, I guess coming from a beginner's or novice's perspective, how would one, you know, I mean, you know, how would a person that doesn't know anything about growing cannabis indoors, I guess, properly use your box? I mean, how does it work? You know, like, I mean, is it complicated? Is it not complicated? I mean, you know. Do you have to set up anything? I mean, what's the plan of attack there?
Sure, absolutely. All right, so I can answer all of that. And actually, what you asked there is one. There are a couple of principles behind the development of this box, this grow chamber, bio chamber. There are a couple of guiding principles, and one of them you're kind of almost hitting on right there is, you know, well, for the novice user. So we built this so that it will be super simple that anybody, and we say, you know, in our marketing now, we're saying, if you can water a houseplant once a day, you can grow top shelf cannabis. We've dumbed it all down, if you will. We've created our own protocol. See, it's not just a cabinet. And, you know, there are grow tents out there, and there's some different. This is a revolutionary new product. It's completely different than anything that's out there right now. People are familiar with tents. You have grow tents on one end, and then there's these big, huge, ugly things, you know, like, you know, you get these big black tents, you know, zip up and whatever, and they're smelly and it's noisy. And a lot of people, you know, now you can get some kits. But even then, you know, it's like, it's confusing. Like, well, what size light do I need? What size pot should I have? How should I do it? There's so many variables. Most people, like 90% of all people, fail when they try growing their first plant, and or they get some. They either just completely fail, you know, failure to launch, or they get some scraggly little kind of sad-looking wilting Charlie Brown tree, you know, and it's disheartening. A lot of people give up. You know, the huge electric bills, throwing off the heat, the noise. You know, they're trying to stick this thing in an attic, trying to stick it in a basement somewhere, they're trying to hide this thing. You know, the smelly and noisy and whatever, and just complicated because there's so many variables, right?
Sure.
CO2 and fertilizers and, you know, too much nitrogen, not enough phosphate, too much phosphate, you know, too much magnesium, not enough magnesium, the pH balance, pH of the water, pH of the soil, or, you know, the heat, the light, how far, how many watts, how many, it's just so many variables. It's complicated. So what we have done is created a system here. And I say we because now, you know, as the company, but obviously, you know, Vincent's brainchild. But what we have done here is we've created a system that it's easy peasy. Okay. What we've done is I personally kind of think about it like, you know, think about it like going to Vegas, you know, the old, you know, like stacking the cards. I feel like that, like we've stacked the cards in our favor. What we've done is we've created a system where we control all the variables, we control everything, and it all, everything is tuned to go together. So for instance, the light is a huge thing. It's our own proprietary light with our own proprietary band spectrum. We have tweaked it. We do things a little differently. I mean, from the outside, it looks like a light, the chassis. I mean, a light, the light, right? It looks like kind of, they all kind of look alike, somewhat, other than colors, you know, gray, white, or black, or whatever. But basically, the, you know, a light's a light, right? Well, it's not. And in the components of the light, in the spectrum, in so many different things that we've tweaked it. We add a little more of this band, a little less of that one, or, you know, more of this color, less of that color. And we've tweaked it, and we've added things in that aren't normally there. We've taken things out that are usually there. You know, we've tweaked it. And we've got a light that now is tuned, and the way we do it, because in this box, you can't just stick any old light in there. You'll probably end up frying your plants, you know? So we have something that within a small enclosed space isn't going to fry your plants, but you're just going to get this ridiculous outsized yield. And we're averaging easily 3 to 4 and sometimes up to 6 times the normal yield out of a plant. Like, we've done the controlled test where we take 2 seeds out of the same packet and we grow one in the box, and then we do a normal natural outdoor grow, like out in California. Do a normal natural outdoor and grow one in the box and look at the difference. And we get like 4 times the yield out of the box versus a normal natural outdoor grow. And what we have done is put together a whole system and protocol so that we basically, there's a couple of little things you have to do, and we guide you through when you have to do them. But 95% of it is really just water it once a day. Just water it, like a houseplant, like it's a cactus or something. Just water it once a day. That's mostly it.
If that proof, it's like, is it like, I guess, growing indoors for, you know, people that have no idea how to grow indoors, like,
yeah, one of those type things? Yeah, and you know, all right, so I'll say it like this. You know the old commercial that we saw for years and years and years where, like, I'm not only the Hair Club president, I'm also a member, right? And, like, the guy shows his before and after, how he was bald and, you know, and how he's got hair, and, you know. Well, kind of like that. So I'm the CEO of the company selling this grow box, but I'm not a cannabis grower, okay? I've been smoking forever, and you know, I know the product line inside out, upside down, all the accessories and the dugouts and the bats and the grinders and all that stuff. But when it comes to actually growing, I'm a consumer of cannabis. When it comes to actually growing it, that's not me. I never grew a plant in my life, okay? Vincent's the master grower. I had never, ever, ever grown a plant in my life until we got one of the prototypes, and I brought it home, and I just followed the protocol, okay? And we've done an iPhone app that just says, oh, it's, you know, here's how to set it up or whatever. Now, oh, you're at week 1. You're doing, just do this. Oh, you're at week 2. You do this, you know, and it just guides you easily. Oh, this is what to do. This is what to do. Really, it's very, very, very simple. I just followed the instructions, and the first time ever, as a complete novice, having no idea what I'm doing on the grow side, and I'm more than happy. I've shared these photos all over Facebook and Instagram and all over the place. I grew. I went with a strain called Blueberry Bliss.
Okay.
And I dropped a seed, and 8 weeks later, okay, 60 days. Now stop. That's another thing. We're getting this in 60 days. I mean, really fast. 60 days. We're getting anywhere from, on average, we're averaging a quarter pound all the way up to, we're getting up to upwards of a half a pound a plant now.
Wow.
that's, you know, from one plant in 60 days. It's really, really fast, okay?
From one seed, one plant, right.
So so we'll do, like, for example, an oil flower, which, again, any strain. And today's oil flowers aren't like, you know, the old Oldsmobile commercials, right? This isn't your dad, you know, this ain't your granddaddy's automobile or whatever, right? This ain't your dad's Oldsmobile. Well, like that, you know, it's like this, the oil flowers have come a long way. You can get them in any strain. So the box is tuned for growing an oil flower. Instead of getting an ounce or two, we're getting like 4, 5, 6, upwards of 8 ounces now out of our final version of our light in the box and just everything tuned the way it is, the way it's shipping. And we have lots of photos of real, actually, we've been growing like crazy. We have multiple of these boxes. We're growing all different plants, all different strains, and East Coast, West Coast, and we're going to town, and there's huge, huge volume of photographic evidence now showing all the different strains of what we've done and what we've been achieving on our, a lot of this. We have two Instagram accounts. We have our Green Goddess Supply, and that one is the main account, and it's really more about the accessories and for the end consumer. Then we have one called GGS_home_grow. Okay, GGS Home Grow. And that's the Green Goddess Supply, you know, Home Grow. So the Home Grow Instagram account is a great place to go for folks if you want to follow us and go check it out. You can see that one's just all for the grow side. Because obviously, as an end consumer, some people don't care about growing, and, you know, and then the people who are growing are all about plants and botany and don't care about maybe the rolling trays and those stuff. So you have the two different accounts, and if you're into both sides, you can follow both of them, or you can pick and choose. So we have a dedicated grow one, and there's pictures like crazy of the armoire and the plants that we're growing in them, you know, every step of the way, and oh, here's, we name them, so here's Jasmine, you know, the Pineapple Express, and this is that, you know, 1 week, or 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, or 4 weeks, oh, look, we're doing stress training now, and blah, 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 and you can just follow the whole process and watch what we've been doing. Yeah, so basically, going back to my story, though, as a novice, I've never done this before. I dropped a blueberry bliss. 60 days later, I had this monster plant. I got, like, 4 ounces, a little over, I forget, 4.1, something like that, but like 4 ounces in 60 days. And I went through, you know, drying and curing and so forth. And I smoked that. It was, I got to say, some of the best weed I smoked. And I won't say in my life because it was so long ago. I don't remember exactly, but I will say it was the best stuff I smoked since around year 2000 in Jamaica. The best lead in the last 18, you know, or 15, 18 years, since I remember, like, until I grew this plant, I always say, oh, the best I ever had was this really fresh, you know, grown in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And now I, you know, so long ago, I don't have it side by side, but just doing it from memory. I'm like, wow, this is either the best ever, or at least since then, this is literally beat anything I've smoked in the last 18 years. And it's not a bias. It's not just because I grew it. It's not some bias because, you know, if I grew this plant and I like a good quality cannabis. And even when I'm buying, like, I don't buy mids. I want good stuff. You know, I want the good stuff, and I'll pay for it. I want the good stuff. Mm-hmm. So if I grew some crappy, you know, Charlie Brown tree and it was awful, you know, then I would say so. And I would go back to buying the good stuff, you know. So since I had got my hands on the first prototype probably, I don't know, maybe about 10 months ago, and I grew my first plant, I haven't bought anything since. I've been growing my own ever since, and we'll never go back. And there's a saying that we're starting to use now that, quote, the only thing addictive about cannabis is growing it.
Right.
And I will tell you, Shane, mm-hmm. that's spot on, because I'd never grown a plant in my life. And after I grew my first one and I smoked that stuff, I'm like, I am hooked. Yeah. You know, I will always have a plant going or two. I've had two going now simultaneously, kind of on a slightly skewed schedule. It's like one I have now, I have a Pineapple Express, Jasmine, the Pineapple Express. Is all done and drying, and then Kala, my cream cookies, is about 3 weeks behind. That one's still blooming and still growing buds. Then I'll just keep rotating as soon as the Pineapple Express is done and out of the box. We actually dry right in the box and everything. So once it's done and out of the box and in jars curing, I'll drop a new seed, get that one. I just constantly got them going.
Right.
Because there's nothing like it. And what I'm doing is I'm growing different strains every time. So it's like, you know, I've done Northern Lights, I've done Blueberry Bliss, I've done one called Deli Cheese, one of the cheese strains. We've got Pineapple Express, we've got Cream Cookies. I'm going to do a White Widow next. Go ahead.
Is it all, in terms of seed, is it mostly, are you growing indica or sativa or, I mean, what?
Sure,
what you,
sure. Yeah, so I'm mixing it all up. So the Blueberry Bliss was an indica.
Okay.
That was a nice, and I, you know, everybody's different, and I know sativas are kind of in vogue, but I really like a heavy indica, like a catatonic couch lock kind of drooling on myself indica, you know, because I started smoking, 20 years ago for insomnia. I like toss and turn all night. I couldn't go to sleep. Whatever. And then I found that, accidentally, you know, like had a friend who's like, hey, you want to hit? You know, I'm like, oh, ooh, that marijuana stuff. Ooh, you know, scandalous, right? And I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll take a hit. And then I was like fucking catatonic, you know, couch lock, right? And I got the greatest night's sleep. And I was like, wow, you know, and I kind of just figured out and learned that, like, wow, this actually works really well. And I was actually, I had literally gotten a script from my doctor for Ambien. And I went out because I have insomnia. I can't sleep, you know, so I can't fall asleep. And I got, I think it was either Lunesta or Ambien. I forget which one. I think it was Ambien, but one of the, you know, the sleep aids. And the side effects were awful. And I'm like, after about 2 or 3 days, I'm like, I can't do this. I stopped taking it. And I told him, I'm like, I'm done. And he's like, well, you want me to try? Maybe it was like, oh, well, that was damning. You want to try Lunesta? And I was like, nah, you know what? I'm off that. Just forget it. I'll just suffer. Because then in the back of my mind, I know, you know what? I'll just start smoking. And yeah, that's what I did. I got a dugout with a little one hitter. Mm-hmm. And I would just go and for the first, you know, 10 or 15 years, it was, sneak-a-toke type thing. You know, I mean, my wife knew, you know, but I mean, but it was, you know, I wasn't public about it. You know, and I had kids, they didn't know, you know, I just, everyone would be in bed and going to bed. And when I'm ready to bed, I just go out to the back porch and take a hit. And then I go to bed and get a great night's sleep. And I've been doing that for 20 years. Okay. So I like the, heavy indica, you know, couch lot kind of thing. So the first one I did was the Blueberry Bliss, and it was amazing. And everybody, like friends and family, hey, oh yeah, here, have a nug, you know, kind of like Oprah, a nug for you and a nug for you and a nug for you. Everybody gets a nug, you know. that's a nice thing. I say, when you grow on your own too, you turn into like Weed Claus, you know, like Santa Claus. You're like Weed Claus. Here, have a nug.
Because
you're growing it. So you're handing out like Santa, you know. And everybody like, oh my God, do you have any more of that? No, that was great. And that was, what was that? No, that was awesome. It was like, it wasn't just me. I'm telling you, it was fantastic. I'm not biased. It was just fantastic. And actually at this point, if I fast forward now, I'm a little sad because I'm down to literally my last nug. I mean, my last little, you know, in the bottom of the jar, the little resin and keef just, you know, scraping the bottom of the jar. I'm down to my last nug of the Blueberry Bliss. So I'm definitely gonna have to, you know, grow another one of those because it's just phenomenal. But in the meantime, I've also wanted to try different things. So this is fun to me. It's like, it's a hobby, right? It's exciting. It's fun. I've been trying different things. So after the Blueberry Bliss, I did a Northern Lights. Let's try Northern Lights. So, you know, you hear, it's a very popular strain. You hear a lot about it. It's more sativa. It's a hybrid, but it's more sativa dominant, the one that I got. And then I did a deli cheese because I want to try some sativas. So I did deli cheese, one of the cheese strains, and those are both, they're both hybrids, but stronger on the sativa side. So you don't get, you know, you don't get couch lock. It doesn't put you to sleep, but you get kind of the happy euphoric kind of like giggly head high. And those are cool.
Right.
And meanwhile, I'm still, you know, going after the, my blue, I still have my blueberry bliss going. So now I have cream cookies and the Pineapple Express. The Pineapple Express is this particular one. This strain, they say, it's a hybrid, more indica dominant. Usually, if you look it up on Leafly, it says they're more sativa dominant, but this one from the breeder says it's more indica dominant.
Okay.
So we'll see. You know, we'll see how it goes. But I am going to do some White Widow, and I'm definitely going to do a pure straight up indica, like a Bubba Kush or something.
All right.
You know, pretty soon.
I really have one or just a few more questions. I mean, I don't know how much time you have. But in terms of the actual, because I've seen a few photos of the box on your website. I mean, to me, it looks like a piece of furniture. You know, I've seen tents. Used tents in my own house. I mean, what's the approach there with the actual look? Because, I mean, I've seen, I'm sure you have too.
There's nothing like this. Yeah.
I mean, that's a bit, I mean, if I were to walk into your house, your apartment, a person looks at it and they're like, well, that's a piece of furniture. Can you maybe talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So, I said there are a few basic tenets that guided the development of this product and why it's revolutionary and there's nothing like it. The first is that, you know, we're getting massive outsized results. You know, like 60 days is just really, really fast. We're not talking 4 or 5 months or 9 months or even three months. We're talking two. We're talking 60 days. It's really fast. You're getting anywhere from, you know, we're getting 4, 5, 6, 7 up to 8 ounces now. And like the berry bomb is like 8 ounces out of that sucker. And, you know, for a personal home grow, this is not meant for commercial. You're not trying to, you know, this isn't for resell or that sort of, but for a personal home grow, like, you know, the average person is not going to be able to smoke 8 ounces in the next 60 days before the next plant's ready. I mean, you know, it's basically almost like basically an endless supply for personal home grow. You know, I still have I have Northern Lights and deli cheese in jars. And I'm still working on the end of the Blueberry Bliss. And I've given away, you know, probably at least 2 ounces of it over time. You know, I mean, giving away half of the yield. So it actually, to put it in perspective, that's for a personal, you know, home grow, that's a lot. Okay. The second guiding principle was that we wanted it to be super, super easy. Like basically, if you can open a bottle of water and pour water into this thing, you know, you can grow top shelf, super high quality cannabis and have fun doing it. Okay. With you know, no fuss, no muss, very super simple. So we made it easy, like very, very easy. And like the system takes all the guesswork out of it for you. And we just make it really, really simple. The third guiding principle to the whole thing was to be stealth, discreet. There is still stigma to it. You know, that grandma may not approve or mom may not approve or, you know, that sort of thing. And then also just, you know, you have people over and, you know, it's like, you know, mixed company. You have no idea, whatever, right? So we want something that that would be discreet. So what we did is we built it to look like furniture. We call it the armoire because it looks like, I don't know, like an armoire, like a little cabinet. And I have two of them in my house. And the funny thing is, like back when I had just the first one, we have different finishes and veneers. You get a maple, we've got cherry wood. We've got like a barn board, antique barn board type look. We've got a couple different, finishes to them. So I had a barn board one, you know, a nice, old antique looking barn board one in my house. And I had dinner guests. We sat there for 4 hours. Like they came in, we hung out, we played card games, we had dinner, and the whole, they had no idea that this thing was like 20 feet away. We were sitting right there, had no idea what it was. It's designed to be, you know, no smell, no sound. Yeah, super whisper quiet, uses almost no electricity. That's one question we get a lot. You know, every place is a little different based on your electric bill and your solar and this and that. But the national average is, it's about maybe $5 to $7 a month of electricity.
Wow.
The whole power supply is less than like a desktop, like tower computer, like a tower PC. It uses less energy than a tower PC, basically. And it's whisper quiet.
How does it do that, though? I mean, what? How does it have?
That's part of our secret sauce. So I'm not going to answer that one. But I'm gonna tell you, I'm not going to answer it. But that's part of the secret sauce. It's super quiet, and it took us a long time. Like even just fans, though, we spent over a year. Spent over a year just researching all different types of fans and stuff. I mean, you know, to stop and think about the nerd factor in that of spending a year working on fans, right? So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the fans and then the light. And one thing you don't realize is you could look at it and go, oh, look, it's a box with a light and some fans. No, there's over 30 components in this box. And you don't necessarily realize it, but there are. There's over 30 components that go into this whole thing. And how it all comes together. And also handles all the rules and regulations. It's legal in all 50 states. You can grow tomatoes in it if you want. But even in the, when it's legal in the 36 states right now, currently they're already legal to grow marijuana at home, personal home grows and so forth, and medical cannabis. It's got the, child safety locks and all of that stuff. So it's fully 50 state compliant. So as I was saying, make it easy, make it discreet, looks like furniture. And that's a big thing. Everybody comments on it's one of the biggest selling features. It's totally discreet. It's quiet. I have dehumidifier that's louder. Et cetera. Air conditioning units are louder. I mean, it's really, really, it's like a tower PC. It uses less energy than tower PC. It's about as noisy as maybe a tower PC with a little, CPU fan kind of thing. So it's pretty quiet. You don't have to hook it up to anything. That's a huge thing too. It's very simple. It's lightweight. It's discreet. We've got technology in there for taking care of the smell issue, so there's no smell. You don't have to hook it up to anything. So on the market, you have those big smelly tents and all that stuff, and you have to hide them and whatever, or tons of heat and all the different issues and problems. On the flip side is there are some units, the higher end fully automated units that have been advertised. None of them are shipping yet that we've seen. You can color me wrong if my information's old, but so far the handful of units we've seen aren't actually shipping yet. And because they've been having nothing but problems. I know there's one of them, I won't throw out names, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but I know there's one that's very popular, very well known. They've been in the press and articles and all the stuff since 2015 and taking pre-orders and still haven't shipped yet. Because it's so complicated and they're trying to be all things to all people. But those are fully automated machines that you drop the seed, close it, come back 3 months later, and you have a plant. Now, where we differentiate from that is, first of all, they're about 3 times more in expense than ours. Mm-hmm. Second thing is they look like, these big, industrial refrigerators. And some of them even look kind of cool, but it's still, all right, it looks cool, but it's still not something you want in your living room. They still look like, sci-fi pods or industrial refrigerators. And then you have to hook them up like built-in, wire and plumbing and all that stuff wire out exhaust and, fans and, exhaust pipes and all that. So again, you're not putting it in the middle of your living room. Ours is literally, kind of like you think about a model, like a dehumidifier, right? With its own built-in pan or whatever, where you just plug it into the wall for electricity and that's it. You don't have to vent this thing outside. You don't have to, that's kind of the armoire. You just plug it in the wall and you're done. I mean, it's you don't have to hook it up to plumbing. You don't have to hook it up to, exhaust or any of that.
Like a plug-and-play type system, basically.
It's designed to be plug-and-play, exactly. Exactly, okay. Plug-and-play. Now, the other thing is that we don't do automation. We go up to a certain point. We do like 90% automated. We let you open the box and water it once a day, okay? Instead of trying to build in automated watering systems, for like hydroponic systems and that sort of thing, it's grown from soil. So, there's people have different opinions on hydroponics versus soil, botanists will say like nothing is better than grown in organic soil. And if you look at things like cannabis cup and all that, you can only submit flaw unless they've changed the rules very recently and that I'm not aware of. But, you know, traditionally you have to be growing soil, you know, to submit to these things. So it's all fully organic, grown in soil. And that's the nice thing about it is when I say, you know, it's the best stuff I've ever smoked, it's because if you follow our protocol and you do it right, I mean, we properly flush it, dry it, properly cure it. It's all organic. There's basically nothing that goes in this other than, you know, all organic materials, water, and then it's properly flushed. So you have, there's no harshness, there's no, you don't have salts and minerals, you don't have, it's nice, clean, pristine cannabis. And with the automated systems, you know, I also question, why would you want that? To me, why would I want to pop it and seed, close it, come back 3 months later, open it up, and look, you've got cannabis. No, I want to have a relationship with my plant here. You know, I mean, even just water it once a day, I get to rotate it. I get, when I'm done and I'm smoking this, there's a sort of pride of ownership, too. It's like, I grew that, you know. That was my little girl, you know. I mean, I grew that. And I say little girl, by the way, because all flowering cannabis plants are females. Just as a side note, the point here is, like, if I was just going to drop a seed, close it, walk away, come back 3 months later, open it, oh, look, I got a plant, then I might as well just go to a dispensary and buy it, you know?
Sure.
With this, you actually have a little bit of it. It's super simple. If I'm in a hurry, I can do what I've got to do. Basically, just drop some water in the bucket and go. I can do that in 15 seconds and be out the door. So it's not a burden. Mm-hmm. But if I want to, I can linger and I can spend 2, 3, 4 minutes and I can rotate the pot and, you know, under the light and, you know, and take an ooh and on, grab my little magnifying loop and check the trichomes and, you know, when I water it and, you know, what. So you get to touch it and play with it and, you know, and feel like, yes, I've actually grown and cultivated this thing. So that's a huge, you know, so ours is about 90% automated, not 100%. But, you know, our particular – now, you can disagree. You know, that's fine. If you like the automated systems, you know, go for it. But our philosophy is that we're a third the price. We're about the same price as if you got a tent and all the parts and pieces and tried to do it, cobble it all together yourself. You know, we're in that range. So it's cheaper than the automated systems. But it's easier and faster and more discreet and so much better than the tents. I mean, night and day. It's just so much better than tents. But we don't go to the extent of trying to be completely, fully, crazy automated. And really, honestly, you know, they haven't shipped yet because they're having all these problems. I really don't quite get how you even can, because every plant's different. Some of them are just, you know, think about people. You have twins. I have twins. You know, and they look nothing like each other. And you know, one's shorter, one's taller, or, you know, they're just completely different people, different personalities, but came out of the exact same room, the exact, you know, they're twins, you know. So it's the same thing with plants. You can have two plants from the exact same, you know, two seeds from the same mother that just, you know, they just grow different, you know, and sometimes they do weird things. And I don't know how you can possibly actually effectively handle every possible scenario and situation and every strain and all the different weird things that can actually happen without any kind of manual intervention, you know? So, but anyway, so that's kind of our philosophy. They're in production now, shipping within the next couple of weeks. We're pretty excited. You know, we've been showing it off at trade shows and everybody's jaw drops when they see it, and they always guess that it's about twice as much as it really is in terms of price. I know there's a lot of interest in the light as well. So we're really looking forward to the future.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to my podcast with Eric. You can check him out on Instagram at Green Goddess Supply. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and please remember to press the subscribe button. You can visit cheaphomegrow.com/episode25 to get show highlights. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Cheap Home Grow podcast. We do our best to bring you quality content. Let's grow together. Please hit the subscribe button and take time to share this podcast with a friend. Visit cheaphomegrow.com for our database of interviews and information. Until next time, be safe and grow easy.